Mary Beth Chapman never wanted to be the protagonist of a tragedy. Growing up in a structured home with her supervac mother's immaculate housekeeping, she developed an early craving for control and perfection. When 9-year-old Mary Beth made a single mistake coloring a Holly Hobby picture, she ripped it to shreds in frustration, a pattern that would follow her into adulthood. Her spiritual life felt equally rigid. Her church taught her more about fearing the loss of salvation than understanding grace. Her relationship with God was transactional. Work hard, be good enough, don't mess up. College brought a fresh start and an unexpected plot twist. Stephen Curtis Chapman, a mullet-wearing country boy with cowboy boots and a green guitar. Despite her intentions to marry someone predictable, perhaps an accountant, she found herself drawn to this musician. Within 6 weeks, they were declaring their love. Their marriage revealed a fundamental personality clash. His bouncy Tigger optimism permanently linked to her pessimistic Eeyore outlook. They settled into a tiny apartment with their meager savings and a green Ford Pinto, while Stephen pursued his music dreams and Mary Beth worked as a hospital secretary. Life accelerated quickly. Their first child, Emily, arrived in 1986, followed by sons Caleb and Will. Meanwhile, Stephen's music career soared with multiple awards and hit songs. But beneath their seemingly perfect exterior, beautiful children, Stephen's booming career, their new Victorian farmhouse, something was deeply wrong inside Mary Beth. The breakdown came suddenly. While Stephen prepared for the Great Adventure Tour, Mary Beth collapsed in their driveway, crying uncontrollably, until Stephen carried her inside. A psychiatrist diagnosed her with clinical depression, explaining she'd likely suffered from it since childhood. This brought both clarity and shame. She felt she had no reason to be depressed given her wonderful life. She learned depression wasn't a logical response to circumstances, but a medical condition affecting brain chemistry. Depression became an unwelcome teacher, showing Mary Beth she couldn't find security in her husband, children, home, or her own efforts, only in Christ. The medication treated symptoms, allowing her to work on deeper healing. These seeds of faith, planted during her 1991 diagnosis, would later help her withstand devastating storms. Meanwhile, their daughter Emily launched an adoption campaign after a trip to Haiti. Despite Mary Beth's hesitation, she'd had her tubes tied and worried about her mental stability, they began the process. When obstacles appeared, unexpected doors opened. China changed their adoption laws just as the Chapmans were applying. In March 2000, they brought home Shahana from Hunan Province, whose name they chose to mean laughter and gift of God's grace. When Mary Beth first held Shahana, something miraculous happened. The baby flew toward her with open arms. Taking her, tears poured down Mary Beth's face as she cried, "This is my baby." In that moment, God spoke to her heart. "Mary Beth, this is how I see you. You are this orphan. I adopted you, and you are mine." The Chapmans' adoption journey expanded when they founded Shahana's Hope, later Show Hope, to help Christian families overcome financial barriers to adoption. Their family grew with Stevie Joy in 2003 and Maria in 2004, whom Stephen met during a ministry trip to China. Upon holding her, he felt an immediate connection, as if she was already his daughter. Maria, with her infectious joy and Tinkerbell energy, completed their family of eight. But on May 21, 2008, tragedy struck when their teenage son Will accidentally hit 5-year-old Maria with his SUV in the driveway. Despite desperate CPR attempts, Maria passed away at the hospital. In that unthinkable moment, the Chapmans found themselves standing at the very door of heaven, placing their daughter in Jesus' arms. Despite overwhelming grief, they clung to their faith that our God is in control, even when things were not as they should be. At Maria's private viewing, they placed special mementos in her casket: letters from her sisters, Tinkerbell wings, ballet slippers, and a ladybug tattoo drawn by Uncle Jim. In the aftermath, the Chapmans sought professional help. Their pastor connected Will with a counselor. Doctors prescribed medication, and they consulted a trauma therapist for their children. Following advice to make new memories, they visited Disney World, where memories of Maria, their little Tinkerbell, haunted them everywhere. Returning home was terrifying. Mary Beth considered moving rather than face the driveway where her daughter had died. As they approached their house, rain poured down, as if Jesus wept with them. When they arrived, they noticed a baby magnolia tree near the playground had bloomed for the first time, one single, fragrant flower near where Maria's life had ended. Stephen coped in his own ways, sometimes screaming praise in his soundproof studio, sometimes collapsing in tears on the stairs, even buzzing his hair and growing a beard as visible signs of mourning. Mary Beth struggled to express herself, but gradually began writing again, first through texts and journal entries, then through her blog. Stephen's Beauty Will Rise CD emerged as raw psalms about Maria, recorded in unconventional spaces. The album's final song, Spring Is Coming, was inspired by their pastor's words at Maria's burial about a seed falling before new life emerges. Emily later discovered that Maria's birth name, Chun Si, translated to Spring Is Coming, the exact title of Stephen's final song. Further research revealed the more precise meaning was Spring River, symbolizing pure water flowing from melted winter snow. This connection confirmed God's presence in their story from the beginning. On June 23, 2009, they dedicated Maria's Big House of Hope in Luoyang City, China. This 60,000-square-foot facility serves 128 special needs orphans with 190 staff members, providing life-saving care while comforting children in their final days. Mary Beth describes grief as yelling at God for answers, and yearning for when all questions will be answered. The second year after Maria's death proved harder than the first, as numbness thawed into the realization she is not coming back. Yet hope remains her anchor. Hope in heaven, in Christ, in the cross. She's learned that grief isn't something you get over, but something you get through. Joy still comes, but always with an awareness of brokenness. Choosing to see reflects her daily decision to look for God's hand even in life's darkest moments, finding breadcrumbs of grace along a shadowed path when she can only see a few steps ahead. Choosing to see means acknowledging winter comes, but spring will follow. It means recognizing beauty can rise from devastation's ashes and understanding that faith doesn't eliminate pain, but provides a way through it. It means believing that seeing God's hand in suffering can transform our darkest valleys into places of unexpected grace. The path through grief isn't linear, but with each choice to look for grace in darkness, we find ourselves carried by something greater than our pain. Our broken hearts can still beat with purpose, and our tears can water seeds of hope.